Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. My name is Chris Hogan, and I'm excited to host another great episode for you today. Now, today on the podcast, I'm joined by the one and only Daniel Tardy.
The one and only.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Hey, have you gotten your energy back after last week?
Man, my energy's grown from last week. That thing jacks me up. We did Entree Leadership Master Series, what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
And gosh, every time we do that event, it's so empowering for us as a team, because I think we really get to connect what we do all year with the lives that event is impacting. As you know, business owners come in and we get to hear firsthand their stories and their fears, their excitement, their concerns, and we get to talk through that with them. And I think that human-to-human interaction, it just fuels me up. You know, it keeps me pushing through another season of spreadsheets and budgets and email inbox and all the... Well, it could feel like minutia, you know, if you never interact with your customers. And I think that's an important point, that even if you don't have a business where you're doing events for your customers, and some businesses yield more to customer facing more than others, but what a critical thing to make sure that as a leader, you're getting some face time with your customers, that you never get too far up in the ivory tower, that you can't just get down and have a cup of coffee with somebody that consumes your product or service.
Well, I can tell you this, after spending some time coaching with some of the business leaders that were there, and again, Entree Leadership Master Series is where owners and leaders come here for a week, okay, to spend face time with Dave and the team. So I had a chance in coaching some of them. They kept saying over and over, Chris, you don't understand how cool it is to spend time with like-minded people, you know, that they don't have anybody pouring into them.
Yeah.
And so to be able to be in an environment for a week where you're all dealing with high-level thinking, people that want to get stuff done, is a difference maker.
Absolutely. We've talked to a lot of business owners who, when they come to Entree Leadership Master Series, and they go, this is my first time to ever experience something like this. And I'm glad that they are, but I'm also concerned for business owners out there who haven't already figured out ways to plug in to a network where they've got shared values, shared purpose, they've got people who are cheering for them. And gosh, how important is that, Chris, to be, if you never come to one of our events, I mean, we think ours are the best, right?
No, but, absolutely. We're biased.
But the point is, you know, you've got to be plugged in. Yeah. I mean, you've got to connect with peers, people who have those same values for what success looks like in their lives, who are going to push you and stretch you. And, you know, there's something about that peer-to-peer accountability that I just think it's magical. And I think that the lack of doing that could be the bottleneck on businesses, because isolation really is it's a dangerous place, because that's where fear takes over.
It's extremely dangerous. And so if you hear us, Daniel and I are telling you, go do something. If you can't come to an Entree Leadership one day, if you can't come to Entree Performance Series, Entree Leadership Master Series, go find an event where you can plug in and watch what it'll do to you, and not only but your team and your business as a result of that. So we had an incredible time. And definitely you can go to EntreeLeadership.com and learn more about the event. But it was a blast. And you all go all out on this event.
Well, we try to really make sure that our customers experience the first class service that we're trying to teach them how to provide for their teams. We try to do everything we can to make sure that they experience that. We're not just teaching them how to do that, but we're modeling that as the week goes on, because they're our customers, and it is a 5-star experience. And the next event, we've got one in March that's Master Series, and of course you teach a couple lessons at those events, but the Performance Series event is coming up in January. I was just telling you, we've got I think about 2/3 already full on that event, but that's one that a lot of business owners will send their team to, their leaders. You know, business owners come to it as well, but predominantly it's mid-level management, partners, VPs, that kind of thing, coming in to get this Entree Leadership material from you. You teach that whole event, and they're gaining more and more popularity, and that one's on track to sell out early. So check out EntreeLeadership.com if you're interested in sending your team or bringing your team with you to the Performance Series event that Chris Hogan teaches.
Now, Daniel, I spent time coaching people, and a lot of things people talk about with me throughout the year, communication, unity, but they talk about goal setting. And at this point of the year, this is where I really encourage people to take time to sit down and really be thoughtful and intentional about goal setting. As you have led this Entree Leadership kind of area and grown it, goal setting is critical to success, correct?
Well, it absolutely is, but I want to talk about this a little bit because I think as leaders in this space, if you're listening to this podcast or have read other business books or listened to other leadership podcasts that are out there, and we're not the only one, there's a lot of great ones out there, goal setting always comes up. And I feel like sometimes it gets kind of tired. It's like, well, oh yeah, goal setting. Yeah, we know it. We did that once. Or, yeah, I do that every year, but I'm not really sure that, you know, I just do it because I feel like it's a chore that I have to do. So I kind of wonder, you know, have we gotten so inundated with this idea of goal setting that it's started to lose its luster, it's started to lose its power? I mean, do you set goals? Do you write your goals down? I mean,
Daniel, I write them down every year. And I hold myself accountable. Now, here's the thing that strikes me. When I teach on goal setting, I tell people goal achievement is the key. Setting the goal, if you don't do the work and lay out a plan to get there, then you've just wasted time setting a goal. I want you to achieve it.
So what's the difference? I mean, you know, a lot of people, it sounds like what you're saying there is, you know, people set goals, but then maybe they never look back at them again, or they don't measure to see if they actually achieve the goal. What's the difference between just setting a goal and making sure you have a plan to achieve it?
Well, I think setting it is where you talk about, this is where I'd want to get to, but the achievement part, that's the plan. Like, I have a laminated 3x5 card with my goals on it for the year,
really?
Career-wise, and I have it on me, okay? And so it's in my face all the time. And so I have to, from an accountability standpoint, here's the thing. My coach taught me this in football. You either did it or you didn't. There is no middle. Don't do that. And so for me, by the end of the year, did I do it or did I not? And so I think the achievement comes with the plan. And I think that starts mentally. It starts being focused on it and really being serious about what it is you want to achieve. You can't have a goal that someone else set for you. You've got to want it deep inside.
So we're going to listen to Dave teach this lesson on goal setting. This is a lesson from the Master Series event that we just did last week.
Everyone needs career goals. Everyone needs financial goals. Personal financial goals. Your business needs financial goals. You need spiritual goals. You need physical goals. Intellectual goals. You need family goals. And you need social goals. Written. You need a goal in all of these areas. And what Zig used to say, and I love the saying, he says, everyone has a strength area and everybody has a weakness area. And if you don't work on your weakness area, at least to keep it somewhat strong, basically you end up with one side of the wheel flat. And you have a flat tire. And you drive a car at 70 miles an hour with a flat tire. It's dangerous. It makes a lot of noise. And it's inefficient. Blah, 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 blah. And your life starts sounding like that and feeling like it's full of vibration. It's unhealthy. And the deal is, you're going to do all of these, or you're going to reap negative things called consequences in every one of these areas.
All right, Chris. So Dave's talking about having natural strengths, natural weaknesses. And I think goal setting is easy and enjoyable in areas where we already kind of know we're going to excel. You know, we kind of point to the bleachers like Babe Ruth and go, all right, I know what's about to happen. Let's hem this up. But I know for myself, I try to shy away from the goals where it's an area in my life that I'm not as strong, I'm not as comfortable, I don't feel like I'm as competent. It's easier just to kind of not have goals in those areas. Mm-hmm. Set some really good goals over here that I know that I can achieve and that I have a lot of confidence in. How important is it to set the goals that are uncomfortable, maybe outside of our security zone? You know, it stretches us a little bit to get out there and do something that maybe we're not comfortable doing.
Well, I think for each individual, you have to make a decision. Are you striving to be comfortable or are you striving to be effective? And if you want to be effective, as Dave is talking about with the wheel, then having those goals in those areas, in all areas, are important. And so you want to be clear about it. Your family goals, to spend time. Don't just take 5 minutes and just scratch it out. I want you to spend time. I want you to really think about it. And what's a goal that would help you be better and get better in each of those areas?
Goals are bite-sized visions. Goals convert vision into energy. Goals that work must be specific. They must be measurable. I want to lose weight. You never will. It's measurable, but it wasn't specific. I want to lose 30 pounds. Ah, now we got something. It's measurable. It's specific. I want to make more money. You never will. I want to make $100,000 this year. I want to make $300,000 this year. This year. Ah, now we have something that's specific and it's measurable. This is real rudimentary, you guys. Some of you have seen this 1,000 times. Teach this to your team. Require this of your team.
You know, Daniel, I think for a leader, I made a mistake once. I gave goals to my team without their buy-in.
Your goals for them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they asked me if I
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
This is what winning looks like for you.
Yes.
And if you'll just do this, then you'll we'll win. All win.
Right.
Trust me.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, it didn't go well. Didn't go well. But they asked me a question, and they caught me off guard. They said, Chris, what is your goal? Mm. And I was like, huh?
My goals are the sum total of all y'all's goals. If y'all just do your part, mine's the total.
And that's terrible from a leadership standpoint. And so I tell you that, leaders out there, that if you're going to encourage and teach your team how to set goals, you better make sure you've got yours. And they need to know that you're striving towards something and that you're not just pointing and telling them where to go.
Yeah, that's big.
A leader's job is to be out front.
That's what leading is. You go first. Exactly. If you're not going first on this stuff, I think we've said it a lot. Dave says it all the time. You should never ask your team to do something that you haven't done or aren't willing to do yourself. I think that's just called transparency and authenticity.
Goals that work must have a time limit. I want to lose 30 pounds. When? Over 40 years? I want to write a book. When? When you're 82? I want to start my own business. When? 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 This is important. I want to lose 30 pounds. When? In the next 90 days. Oh, boom! As soon as we say that, long division takes off with a math nerd, doesn't it? I want to make $300,000. When? Per year. Oh, $25,000 a month. Okay. Once you put a time frame on it, you can do the division, you can break the metrics out, you see what it's going to do, and instantly you can know how much a day you got to bring in to do this.
All right, Chris, so Dave's doing these illustrations, losing weight, how much income you're going to make in sales, it's this many calls, it's this closing ratio. I mean, you can do the math and quickly put metrics on these things to figure out if you're going to win or not. I think for a high-performing leader, we do this a lot. It's easy with the things that are super measurable, especially if it's in business. There's a number we can point at. But what about the things that we know we need to improve on? Like, I need to be a better dad. I need to be more transparent and open with my team and not act like I have it all together. I know I need to be a little bit more enjoyable to be around, a little bit more engaging. These are kind of subjective, soft things that, you know, I think as leaders, we all know kind of generally what those things are that we need to grow in. How would you take the goal-setting template that Dave's laying out here where it's an area that we need to grow that may not have inherently as many numbers that we can put on that and measure that. How do you turn that into something that we can get traction on?
Well, Daniel, I think one of the things you do in that area, and that's one of the things that I'm getting ready to go through next week, setting my goals for 2014, I get intentional with it and I set and structure time to do those things. For example, to be a better dad, I want to make sure that out of a given month, if I'm not on the road, that I take my boys to school and I'm the one to pick them up. That we have date nights, you know, where the boys and I are going to go to movies and hang out and we do things. So spending time, focus time will help me become a better dad.
So you're creating space on your calendar and you can at least measure that. And then, you know, from there, it's up to you to deliver on the quality of that time.
Thank you for bringing up the word quality, because that's where you're focused on it. You know, you put your iPhone and an Android and thing away, you turn it off. And when you're at dinner with your kids or your spouse, you're focused
on them. It has an off switch. You can turn it off.
Yeah. And the world won't end either if you turn it off.
People are going to die if I turn my phone off.
No, turn that thing off and be focused. And the same thing with transparency with your team. I think if you set up time that you're going to talk a little bit about yourself and don't make it just about the numbers, I'm going to tell you right now, and this is an entree leadership thing. Team members leave a leader, not a company.
Wait, say that again.
Team members will leave a leader, not the company. Mm. So you as a leader, it's your responsibility to connect with that individual so they stay with you if you want them to. That's on you. So if your goal is to be more transparent and to be more of the kind of leader that you would want to work for, then do it. And structure time and spend the time and be that leader that you don't want anyone to leave.
If your mother wanted you to be a dentist, I don't want you touching me. You hurt people. If you always wanted to be a dentist, you're one of the most gentle, kind people I've ever run into. If your mother, if your daddy wanted you to be a preacher, I don't want to go to your church unless it was your heavenly father that called you. It's got to be your goal. You cannot impose goals on someone else. That's corporate quota crap. And now you're bossing, you're not leading. Can you sit down and show someone and persuade them that this is a good idea? Because at the rate your call volume is, your children are going to starve. So you've got to do this. You're not going to make it. That's, you know, these are the realities of the marketplace. Can you tell people that? Yeah. But am I going to come in and go, corporate says we have to have our Q1 at so-and-so, so stock price maintains. Oh, brother. That's the worst motivation in the world. And nobody stays in an environment like that except people who can't find a job anywhere else. They're too scared to leave. It's the only reason they're there. And those aren't valuable people.
Daniel, you know, one of the best things I ever did, and it was actually on accident. I stopped talking about the goal and the volume that people had to do in my mortgage business. Mm. And I started to ask them this question. Who in your family do you want to do something special for? Mm. And so the guy said, well, I'd love to take my mom on a cruise. And I asked him this question. I said, when are you leaving? And I went to a travel shop. Remember the old days when they used to have companies that were...
I don't remember.
You're younger than me. But anyway, you would go in and I got a brochure on the Bahamas and brought it back to him. And at his desk at lunch, I put it there and I put a sticky note on it. And I said, when are you leaving?
Mm.
So in essence, what it was it turned his activity from being about hitting the sales number to what production do I need to have this month to take my mom on that cruise?
I love that. You reframed it in a way where he had an emotional connection to it that was personal.
It was real.
Yeah.
And the brochure stayed up there. A month and a half later, he bought the tickets to take his mom on a cruise.
Really?
It changed me as a leader.
Well, you know what I love about how you did that? Like, you didn't tell him something, you asked. I'm reading a book right now called The Art of the Humble Inquiry. It's about asking questions as a leader and how as leaders we tend to... yeah, you can write that down.
Yes, I am.
Credit me
later. The Art of the Humble Inquiry.
Maybe it's just called The Humble Inquiry. Yeah, but scratch the art part of that. The Humble Inquiry, but... The idea is that when you humbly just ask questions, hey, who do you want to do something special for in your family? You know, what would it look like for you to feel successful here at your job? What would it look like for me to be more helpful as your leader? I mean, you could go all day asking questions and they're disarming. They put people at ease. They give people the dignity of kind of coming up with what they feel like their opinion is that would, that would contribute to that. So, I love how you asked him. I think that's one thing with we talk about the DISC profile is certainly the high D kind of dominant driver personality. It's not natural for us to ask. Our natural state is to tell,
yes,
and to teach and to talk. And that can be good. I mean, that could be, hey, charge the hill. Let's go. I mean, there's a time for that. But learning the art of asking questions. But you did that. And it completely changed the game for that guy, it sounds like.
No, it really did. And not only for him, but for me. Because just about 2 months later, I had a young lady pay cash for a GMC Envoy. And it just changed the nature of our office because I let him come back from his cruise and talk about it, the trip with the team. And so it began to get real. And I began to have people that were achieving things that probably they never thought that they could. And it's because they started to dream bigger and they started to work harder and they did better.
Well, I love also how you're connecting it to something that, you know, money is, who cares, right? It's what money affords you the opportunity to do. It's the experience with taking your mom on the cruise, or it's the car that you're going to buy, or it's the kids' college fund that you're going to fund. And, you know, when you can connect it's not just dollars, you know, and when it's just dollars, it almost is like, well, it's all about the company's goals. You
right.
know, how many dollars do I have to get in the door for the company? But when it's a commission thing, or when it's, hey, here's something that an experience that you can create that maybe you couldn't do otherwise. Now it's connected to what people really care about, which is not the money, but it's the time with their family It's the quality of life. It's these types of things they can do when they hit that goal.
Yes, sir.
So you got to be motivated by, I care about this. I want the team to win. I am going to put forth the effort to put the ball across that line. It's that simple. And goals have to be in writing. The Bible says in Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain. If you don't write it down, it never happened. You have to write it down.
I'm just showing Daniel. I just reached into my bag and pulled out my goals, and he's sitting here looking at it. I told him it's in my face at all times, the things that I'm going to achieve, the things that I'm striving for and working for. And so I want to encourage you all that are listening out there to get a 3x5 note card. Get something. Write your goals down in handwriting, not typed.
Wait. Hang on. Chris, this is 2013. Why can I not type my goals? I mean, I got a computer, I got a phone. I'll just
listen.
It's faster.
We get spam. Spam email is typed.
Green. You want me to waste paper?
I want you to write on paper.
Why is that so important? I agree with you.
Well, because if I were to take my goals out, if it were typed up on a piece of paper and I laid it on my desk along with 25 other emails, what's going to differentiate my goals from those other emails?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to look at it and see it. If this note card is laid on my desk amongst 25 emails, I know my handwriting. That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's mine, I have ownership of it. And so if I own it, then I'm responsible for it. And so if you write it down, it's going to change it for you. And because at the end of the year, when you look at it, you either did it or you didn't.
This is a place where analog is really underrated.
Yes.
When you pull out a pen and you have to slow down long enough to actually write it in your handwriting, you're dwelling with that longer. You're thinking through how it's going to be scripted. There's a visceral connection between the ink that's flowing out on that page and your mind, and you're taking something that's just a dream in your mind, and it's the first step to putting something into reality.
Yes.
It's moving from a thought into a, here's something I can touch physically and point to and go, no, that really did put that down.
Yeah, no, it's a game changer. And again, I had a football coach that made us accountable for that. Mm-hmm. We had to write down the goals of what we were going to achieve in each game. And he would call on people randomly to stand up, and you had to say what you were going to do on Saturday.
It's good.
And so on Monday, when we watched film, you either did it or you didn't.
Did or you didn't.
So you had to go back. And so believe me, we got real clear on goals and the importance of it. But everybody bought in, and it was a game changer for our team.
Well, I love how you talk about it, you did or you didn't. And I think that's, as a leader, you go, yeah, there's accountability. We like that. As a team member, though, who maybe were taken through this goal-setting process, I think there can be a little bit of fear that, okay, if I didn't hit my goal, am I going to be in trouble? Am I going to get fired? Am I going to, you know? So talk about the importance of, you know, how does a leader get a team member on board with setting goals and make sure that they don't feel like they're going to be embarrassed as a result of missing a goal or whatever? Because we know that if you miss the goal, that's just a chance to either get better at goal-setting or figure out, you know, what do we need to do different to hit the goal? I mean, it's a tool. It's like a compass. It's not It's not something to beat people over the head with. How do you get the team to kind of buy into that in a way where they really feel excited about the goal-setting process and not, here's more accountability that I'm going to get in trouble if I don't do this the right way?
Yeah, I think for the leader, it depends on what kind of history do you have interacting with that individual. Because if they know you, and like your team knows you, you are striving. Your job, you are passionate about the Entree Leadership brand, about growing it and helping people grow themselves. And so to set a big goal, your team knows if they set a big goal with you and they come up a little short, they've already won, you know, because you've communicated with them about reaching. It's not that you're going to be mad. You're going to sit down and talk with them about, hey, what can we do better? What could have done as a leader to help you achieve that? And how are we going to get better for next year? So I think the communication, the unity, and the loyalty of the leader will allow them to have the type of relationship that their team members can buy into and be excited about working with that leader.
A little shift in pronouns.
Yes.
From how could you have done better to how could we have done better?
Yes.
That's a game changer.
It is a game changer.
Well, Chris, this has been fun. I hope that goal setting is not something that our listeners go, yeah, I'll get to that in January. By January, it's time to get to work and start executing against the plan. So take this season, coming into the holidays, and maybe there's some downtime, maybe things in your business slow down a little bit. probably not if you're in retail, but for everybody else, you know, get some margin carved out and grab a journal, grab a yellow pad, get a couple hours and start with a dream. Talk about, you know, hey, what do I want life to look like next year? And go crazy, right? I mean, start with the most top end, you know, what's the biggest vision you have for how great things could be, independent of any constraints? And just dream, and what would it look like if you knew you were unstoppable? What would it look like if you knew you couldn't fail? And get that on paper, because I think there's a lot of energy in that. And then start to bring reality in a little bit and start to put some specific, okay, Q1, Q2, Q3, and then monthly, and whittle it down to weekly, daily. It turns into your strategy that you're going to execute
on. Absolutely. And I would say two tips on that. Set a goal that stretches you. Set a goal that's something that you are going to really have to work to get. And the second thing I would tell you is, if your dreams and goals aren't running for public office, then stop worrying about public opinion.
Yeah, that's good.
I want it to matter to you. And I want you to get a group of people around you that believe in you enough to support you reaching for that goal. And I want you to ignore doubt. And I want you to work hard and reach. Because I promise you, if you reach hard enough and you stay focused long enough, you'll get there. And you'll take some people with you because you've grown. And you'll learn how to encourage people. So set your goals and continue to reach out. Now, I know for you, Daniel, as we talk about with Entree Leadership, with the people that just attended and prior members, we're doing some stuff to help people grow.
You bet. So here's one of my goals. One of my goals for Entree Leadership is that by the end of next year, we have 100,000 people, business owners, business leaders, connected and engaged in the Entree Leadership community that we have set up now on EntreeLeadership.com.
100,000.
100,000. And we can absolutely do that. And that's a stretch number for us, but we look at the different lists that we have, the newsletter and the podcast listeners, and we go, okay, out of all of those, if we could get this percentage to join us over there and engage in that conversation, that's 100,000 people that we can help stay plugged into the Entree Leadership principles. So we're really excited about that. The good news, it's free. So there's not a big price barrier to us accomplishing that goal. Lots of free content, lots of resources, great premium content, podcast extras. You know, we really want this to become something that not only is it good content that can equip small business owners to grow themselves, their teams, their profits, but to allow business owners to engage in that community. We talked about when they come here to Entree Leadership Master Series, how they're going, wow, I got people who think the way I think. I got people who struggle with the same things I struggle with. And so we're creating a community there where you really can ask some of the hard questions that you have that you can't ask your team members. Maybe you can ask your spouse, but maybe they don't have that business lens or perspective on it that gives you the type of specific insight that you're looking for. And so this is a business owner community by business owners for business owners, and we're helping facilitate the conversation around these Entree Leadership principles. And that's at EntreeLeadership.com.
Now, you all, Daniel, I know you were telling me, mastermind groups.
So there's the free part of it, and people go, well, why are you giving this away for free? Why are you doing so much to just put stuff out there without making an ask? And one of our core values is to be a generous brand. And we really do believe Zig Ziglar's old adage of if you take care of enough people, you know, the money's going to take care of itself. That's the summarization. That's not exactly how he said it. But he said, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. You know, it's that idea that helping people, serving your customer, serving your community, if we serve enough people, then some of those people are going to choose to upgrade to what we call All Access. And All Access is the premium paid membership. It's $300 a month. But for that, you get all of the video library from our Entree Leadership Master Series event, all of the workbook material. So you literally can have your team in the office and do a staff meeting and have Dave, you know, play Dave on one of those videos, do the goal setting lesson, do the delegation lesson, whatever it is. Basically bring Entree Leadership Master Series to your team and to your office. The mastermind groups, we plug you in with other All Access members, six or seven, and we facilitate a track for you guys to run on to every month check in. And kind of Dave's got this thing he calls his Eagles group.
Mm-hmm.
He meets every Wednesday morning with these guys. They're high-performing business leaders. There's that accountability. There's that like-mindedness that we've been talking about, encouragement. They wrestle through different challenges. Maybe they go through different books and things like that together. But we've basically created that same dynamic with these mastermind groups for All Access. There's email access to our coaching team that's included with that. There's weekly e-coaching sessions, which are online webinars that our coaching team puts on. But the whole idea is that anybody in that all-access member level, we don't want those guys to just be inspired by the Entree Leadership Principles. We want to deliver a world-class system that helps them activate and apply Entree Leadership Principles over time. Because success is a journey. It's not this event. It's not just one podcast. It's not one book. It's the journey over time of wrestling through the evolving landscape in your business. And so that's really what we put All Access together for. It's an incredible deal, and it's already the hottest thing that we've launched. It's taken off like crazy. We're way ahead of our projections of where we thought that would be. But it's really exciting to see the tribe responding to that.
Well, I'm excited. I know we've got a few meetings set up in the coming weeks to talk about additional content to add to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to be a part of it. But anytime we're doing things to help leaders grow themselves as well as their team, that's a good thing, and looking forward to doing more of it. Well, listen, I want to thank you all, the listeners, for tuning in to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Daniel Tardy, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Chris. This has been a lot of fun.
What are you doing next?
I'm going to go set my goals for next year.
100,000, you all, you heard him say it. Stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. And until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.